I was thinking about when a few Sundays ago when Shelley got up and shared that first time she came to Believer's Fellowship, and it was a little crazy. She thought, hold your neighbor's hand, you know, and raising your hands and all that. But anyway, it's funny. Sometimes it's what makes us feel a little bit weird or uncomfortable. So I'm going to have you do something now. I'm just have you turn to the one beside you and just say, you really are something. That was easy. So I might have to change the title of this message, but you really are something. You know, it's funny, the tone of that, it's a hard thing. If you text that, that may not come across the way you want it. It can come across very, very positive, or it could come across very, very negative. But you guys really, you really are something. We shared the last few weeks about the power of good news, that the gospel is a good story, and it's about the whole big picture, and that story is the power of God to deliver you, set you free, heal you, fill you up with love and light and power. That story, Bible says, is the power of God in your life for this victory. As we go through this short time, and something I do speak a lot to people and remind them that, don't forget that this is a very short period of time. In light of eternity, this is a real speck. You know, it's like seeing somebody out there playing football or something, and all of a sudden they get captivated with a little ant on the ground and want to protect it, and they reach down and try to get picked. And it's almost like everybody else would say, man, pull your head up and get, you know, remember where you're at. What's going on here? There's a football game going on. You know, soccer, we had kids playing, and all of a sudden I'd see one of them over in the corner just pulling grass up, you know, watching the rest. And I think for us, if we can keep it in mind that what might seem like a major mountain down here in tragedy or whatever else, remember, in light of the fact that it's just a short little vapor that we're down here, it's okay. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's okay. If we go home a little early, so what? In view of that, though, I still contend that we ought to make the most of our time down here. Not the least. We ought to really go for it, since we know where we're going. We ought to be the gutsiest people in the world and have the most fun. So you're really something, because in the garden when Adam and God were walking around in the cool of the day, think about that. Adam got to experience being in the presence of the Creator of all things, all-powerful, and they were just, they weren't designing skyscrapers, they weren't developing corporations, they weren't trying to win the NBA, they were just enjoying the garden. Isn't that a crazy thought? That God came down, just walked with him. Being a good Quaker boy, we used to sing, I come to the garden alone. Wasn't that it? And that was, I think, we all thought it was one of Grandpa's favorites. I don't know if it was, but it's in our culture right now, just to go relax in your garden sometimes is like, man, I got to get this done, but I got a big schedule today. But Adam and Eve were walking with God in the cool of the day, and it was good. God said it was good. But you really are something because you were there. You were there. The Bible tells us that you were in the heart of God before the foundation of the world. That he had planned a path of good works for you before he even created the earth and created Adam. The Bible says that his thoughts towards you are more than the sands of the sea. That's a lot. That's a lot. You know, sometimes if we just forget a birthday or anniversary, you just want to, you know, like Elisa say, we want to take somebody to task. You forgot our anniversary. How many thoughts do you have towards me? You know, and God has thoughts, gazillion thoughts. And part of it is he's had them for a long time. Well, I just shared with Nathaniel, we were just talking about having, some of us were born. How do we put that? We were not planned. Is that the word, Devin? Our parents told us, you last three weren't planned. Well, how's that work? Well, obviously. But I just figured, man, aren't you glad I showed up? But think about it. No matter what your parents tell you, and no matter what the circumstances tell you, you are no accident. He's known you. And to walk with him is good. You know, there's times when I'm praying, it's like, I got these aches, I got these pains, I got this, I got that. I'd sure like to be gone with that, and I got... But you know what I really want? I don't even care if my body's hurting that much. I've taken a stand with my body that basically says toughen up and ignore pain. You do what you want. I haven't taken an aspirin, a Tylenol, or my hay fever pill for I don't know how many decades. I think when I had surgeries, they gave me drugs because I was knocked out and didn't have a choice. But you said, I had surgeries, and afterwards, I didn't take any painkillers. You said, what? Well, it's just pain. It won't kill you. You'll just wish you were dead. And I don't know. I've always taken this stand. If there's this easy path here I can take and get there, or if there's this path over here that's going to be going uphill and the wind's going to be against you, I'll take the wind and the uphill. Why? Because it develops character. I don't do it all the time. But I will say in my psychic, I choose to build character more than I choose to have the easiest path. And that has to be a deliberate choice. Your flesh just wants to go easy way. So it's like we walked with him in the cool of the day. We were there with Adam and Eve in God's thoughts. That's pretty cool to think about. We finally showed up, and now we're living this life, and we're getting experience, all kinds of things, good and bad. But in a few short little seconds, we're going to be out of these bodies again and back into his presence. Yeah. And me too. And again, it's not like I crave pain, but there's times that, you know, in my body it's hurting or whatever. And I go, Lord, it's not so much, if I get to, you know, my preference is, I'm not asking just to have all the circumstances going good. Frankly, it's my issue. It's a problem with me. When everything is smooth and going good, I get nervous. When you got somebody shooting at me, I calm down. Because I at least know, oh, this is what I need to focus on now. They're coming after me. And that's not a good deal in life. Just enjoy those peaceful moments. But at the same time, what I really crave in my life is I just crave that energy and that hope and that anticipation of going for it and feeling good going after it. If my body isn't right, that's fine. If my mind isn't quite right, fine. But just that inward, this is my time, and I want to live. I want to live. And we're going to be there. So if you can step back and see the bigger picture, it makes it, I think, better for you to win on this little short time we got at. And there's a whole lot that we can learn to win. So after the service last Sunday, Susie caught me in the, we were just walking out. She's walking down the basement. She says, 1 John 3:9. And so I'm going to ask her to come and read that. She's. If you want to blame this message on somebody, blame it on Susie. She can take it. So I'm going to ask her to read 8 and 9.
1 John.
You don't have to sit down. You're my support here. No, I'm going to say more than that because this all started when I was reading this passage, but then I thought, okay, well, maybe I should read it first. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him. He cannot see sin because he's born of God. Well, then I started thinking, okay, you were talking about the light of Jesus in us. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. And his light, he said, he put into all men. Okay, so I thought, okay, the light is in us. And then I read this. His seed is in us. Okay, the sun came up this morning. The sun will go down tonight. He said, we'll have day and night, winter and summer. I wish I could remember. If I'd had done a little work on this before, I'd remember all that.
I didn't give her a clue,
but he said there would be always seed time and harvest. We planted seed. We're getting a harvest. His seed cannot just sit there. It has to bring forth a harvest. So all we've got to do is water that seed, feed that seed, and he has to bring forth that harvest in our life. I thought, that is so powerful, because his light and his seed has given us life and life abundant. And he said, above all, I want you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Yeah. Anyway, it just put so much in me that, God, you have given us so much to live this life as you're talking about. I don't know if that fits in with your sermon or not, but I don't know. Think about it. Just think about his seed in us. Just think about that light, the power. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the light that brings forth all life.
And he is the seed.
And
He is the seed. So in this life, there's laws of nature. They're wonderful to figure out. You know, we talk about, I usually refer to the law of lift and the law of thrust, but there's also the law of friction. And what a wonderful thing it is to learn about the law of friction and know that a little bit of oil reduces it. Have you ever ran, I've got a grape seed, a grape press. Instead of stepping on it with my feet, I have this press. Big old screw on it. And I tell you what, when you crank that thing down, you know, if just a slight bit of oil on that, just But when it's something is dry and the friction is there, it's crank, crank, crank. There's just laws of nature, and they are not broken, and they work all the time, every time. And there's the laws of nature. Then there's the laws of the kingdom of darkness, the way they work. That's what we didn't know anything about until Adam ate the fruit. And then that manifested in his life. And he had to deal with that in his mind ever since. He didn't have to deal with it before that time. That's another story. And then there's the laws of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Jesus' kingdom. And all these laws work whether you know about them or not, whether you are aware of them or not. But if you learn to work with them, again, just the law of friction, it's just amazing when you reduce friction down how much easier life is. So learning these laws is part of what we get to do in this short little time that we got down here. God also, this is something that I find difficult to get across to people. People say, God can do whatever he wants to. He's God. Yes, and guess what he wanted to do? He wanted to establish laws. Now, we're not talking about just 10 commandments and don't speed and all that. We're talking about just principles of the way things work and the way things govern things. You know, everything needs to be managed. If there was a guy that died in Europe years ago, and he just said, being of sound body and mind, he was a wealthy guy, I will everything I have to the devil. So when he died, that went before the court because the judge had to decide, what does that mean? Isn't that interesting? I mean, here legally, the judge has to figure out what it means in this guy's will that says, I give everything to the devil. So he just said, build a wall around everything he owns and then put a lock on it and walk away. It'll go to the devil. And the whole place went, everything needs to be managed. So here we are with God now, and I about lost my train of thought there, didn't I? So here's the point. God, being God, he said, okay, I'm going to put limits on myself. And so God can't do everything he wants now, so to speak. He's put limits on himself. This really confuses people. But he said, this is the way it's going to be. And these laws work for you and I, whether we know them or not. And a lot of times we run into walls because we didn't know the rules. We sometimes have great success by accidentally doing the right thing and find out later what we did right, right? Or find out later what we did wrong and why we got slapped. But God himself said, I'm going to limit myself. And when it comes to dealing with his children, he says this, I'll go beyond anything you can ask or think. So he's given him himself leeway to bless us more than we could even imagine. But then he puts a limit on it and it says, according to the power that works within you. So there's a limit of what he can do in your life. Even though he wants you to be healthy, he wants you to be strong, he wants you to be happy, he wants you to be powerful, he wants all those things for you, he's 100% in on that deal. But he's limited because it has to be according to the power that works within you. Not the power that works outside of you. And most people are looking at God saying, can you change these circumstances? He said, well, to change them, I first have to work inside you. It always starts inside here. And what's inside here? The seed, the light, the truth, the wisdom. By his doing, everything he has is inside you. That's law. That's just the way it is. Nothing can change that. Why isn't it working better? because it also is based on faith, and it's based on our us being aware of it and following through to release that power that's already inside of us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I was talking to my son about hope, and he said, "Dad, I have I'm trying to figure out what hope is." I said, "Man, let me know when you find out. It's not wishing. Oh, I wish I was there. No, that's not. Oh, I hope I get there. No, it's not the same. It's an earnest expectation," is what the Greek word says. But somebody said the other day, and I thought it was really good, hope is sitting on the edge of your seat waiting to see what you already know is there. Don't you like that? Man, it's just cool to see that picture that sitting on the edge of your seat. And there's times that, yeah, in a ball game or whatever, you can actually see people slide up in the bench and look, anticipating and wanting to see. And so hope is that earnest expectation. But it's not just a wish, it's a knowledge that it is there already. I'm looking to see it. And my faith brings me the substance of that and the evidence of that. Chad, come on up here and read for us. If I start reading this, I'm going to want to talk about it. So, Romans 7, 14 through 25. So,
okay. This is Romans 7. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then that the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin."
Yeah, this is a familiar scripture for some, but let me just say this. Paul was a deep personality, and he liked sarcasm, and he liked to mess with you. And that's not bad. I'm just saying you got to kind of read that knowing that he's kind of that way. But right here, he's kind of making this comparison, and I think about everybody in the world can identify with it. Man, the things I really want to do, I'm not doing them. What in the world's wrong with me? And the things I don't want to do, I'm doing them. What is wrong with that? And Paul comes down to finally magnifying it to, "Wretched man that I am, man, I'm twisted up, messed up. Who's going to deliver me from this?" He said, "If I am no longer the one doing it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do this sin, but I'm doing it. But now I understand it's not me that's doing it." You can't, for some of you that are a little older, if Flip Wilson doesn't come into your mind, it's the devil made me do it, but then that's really what he's saying. So maybe put it this way. That which dwells, the seed that dwells inside of you is going to bring a harvest no matter what. That's the law. Whether it's a good seed or a bad seed, it's going to grow. And Paul is just saying, I'm finding that in this old man, there's the seed of sin in me that came in through Adam. Born with it. Born with it. And even when I don't want to do it, I do it. But then I also find that in this new man, I've got the seed of God inside of me. And now I joyfully agree with the laws of the kingdom of God. You got to remember that. You joyfully agree with the laws of the kingdom of God. You love what God says and you want to do with all your might in your brand new man that you're born again with. But your old man is still against you. And so he goes on to say, you know, who will deliver me? And then he goes, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And yet it's almost like he's saying, we got a deliverer. We got out of that mess. But most Christians will still refer to Romans 7 saying, yeah, that's just still the way it works with me. I'm doing the things I don't want to do, and I'm not doing the things I want to do. And it's like, wait a minute. You got delivered from that. Thanks be to Jesus. That's not what's happening to you anymore. You really are something. And of course, you know, I use Romans 8 nonstop, one of my favorite chapters. This is right before Romans 8, and he comes down to this line, and he says, okay, so this is what was happening, and this evil inside of you was pushing you in and making you a slave to it, but then God's seed came into you, and now you're a slave to righteousness, and thank be to God, it's a brand new day. And then Romans 8, by the way, there was no chapters back then. He's just writing this letter. He goes, therefore, because all that's taken done, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was in the flesh, God did in sending his own Son. In the likeness of sin, he condemned sin. He judged it and said, no longer will you have authority over my kids. Well, why do I keep messing up? Well, let's talk about that a little bit. But let's establish this. There is no condemnation if you're in Christ. Crazy, isn't it? He who practices sin is of the devil. Let me read to you. I don't know what you visualize when you see the word sin. I hate to refer back to this, but I'm going to. About 30 years ago, I was talking about this, and I stopped talking about sin being smoking cigarettes, kicking the dog, drinking too much, lusting, sex, and all that kind of stuff. Because it just seemed like we were all kind of locked up in that little box of that's what sin is. And the only time I referred to it that way was when I was trying to say what I'm trying to say today, that that's a real limited little view, a little piece of the puzzle. And one mother afterwards said, how come you're always condemning my kids for smoking? And I thought, my very point was, there is therefore now no condemnation. I wasn't condemning them. I'm trying to say that's where most of our thinking is. But let me try to paint a little bit clearer picture. I don't know. Sin is a tough thing to kind of grasp what it really is. But here's the definition out of the Greek. It says, properly to miss the mark. So it's like if you had a target up here, you know, a bullseye up here, and everybody got to throw darts at it. And to hit the mark, it was just the bullseye. And if all of you threw, I imagine we'd be pretty fortunate if one of you hit the bullseye. You might. Got a dart player back there, he might hit it. You know, one of you might get lucky. But there'd be probably darts everywhere, and for some of you, you're a little spastic, so it might be a dart over here, it might be a dart over there. The point is, every dot except for the one that hit the bullseye is sin. That's a little bit bigger box than cussing your wife out. It means almost everything you've done is wrong. Missing the mark. What's the mark? There's only really one mark, and that's know him. Know him. John 17:3. This is eternal life. This is life. Knowing him. The word know is the Greek word gnosko. It means to be aware of him, to know, to recognize, but it also goes deeper than that. It's to be known back from them. It's a two-way street. It's the idiom for sexual intercourse. It's an incredible word of saying becoming one. I know him, he knows me. We're intimate. We are, that's life. That's the mark. Whatever is, anything else is missing it. And God has condemned sin in your life, and meaning when you miss the mark, it no longer has that authority over you that it used to have. I'm not saying it won't have consequences. I'm just saying, in light of your walk with the Lord from the time of creation or whatever until for eons down the road, this is how God looks at you. So, how about this thing of who practices sin? The one who practices sin is of the devil, and no one who has a seed in him practices sin. Most of us condemn ourselves because we got some sort of a vice, some sort of a habit, something that we're doing that's condemning us, and we know it's not wrong, we don't want to do it, but we keep doing it. And so whatever it may be, a lot of times we get our little focus on that, and we go, yeah, God, I want to know God, I want to be a child of God, and yet I'm not because I'm practicing sin. Well, let's back up a little bit here and just say, okay, wait a minute. What does it mean to practice sin? Practice missing the mark. Oh, by the way, let me finish that definition. Oh, let me get it right here. Properly, to miss the mark and not share in the prize. You know what sin really is? It's when you're not walking in the prize, in the inheritance of who you are. Who are you? You are now a child of God, joint heir with Jesus. Everything belongs to you. When you're not walking in the truth that everything belongs to you, that you have all authority given to you by him, that he has placed inside you his plans, his purposes, his heart, his love, his light, he's placed every good thing that's inside of him, inside of you for the good. When you're not walking in that, that's sin. Forget about the bad stuff for just a moment. You're walking in sin when you're not experiencing the greatness of God. Who wants to be delivered from sin? Me, wretched man that I am, set me free. Set me free from discouragement, shame, and comparison, and criticism, and set me free from insecurity and fears, and set me free from all that kind of stuff. I want to be free to be have what has been bought and given to me. I'm a king's kid. I'm a king's kid. I was in Denmark, and they have kings and all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of symbolic, but it's still, it's kind of fun to talk to them because it's a whole different deal than America. But they had two princes at that time when I was there, and we were talking about them. They're in the paper, and I was looking at them, and I was trying to figure, so I was talking to the people there in Denmark and say, well, tell me more about what it means to be, like a king's kid here in Denmark. And they said, Oh man, they gotta, you know, and I don't know about you, but I kind of thought, well, I wonder if they're just kind of lazy suckers. You know, everybody bows down to them, and everybody, you know, and they can get away with everything. He says, so I was kind of being the devil's advocate, and I was asking those kind of questions, and he says, oh no, you're missing it. You're not seeing this, John. I said, what do you mean? He said, they get up early in the morning and they go late till night. They're being trained in so many different languages. They've got to learn that. They've got to learn fencing. They've got to learn this. They have to be athletic. They have to be. And I said, "Whoa, that don't sound like much fun." Sorry, I got a little PTSD about school. Not about learning, just about school. But anyway, and they start painting this different picture to me. I said, well, tell me more. And I said, these two boys are awesome, man. These two boys are diligent. They're disciplined. They work really hard. They know they represent the country to other countries, so they're working on their etiquette. They're working on all that, but they have more fun. They get to do this. They get to do that. They get to do that. They've experienced this. They've experienced that. They get to travel. They get to do that. And all of a sudden, I go, whoo, that's a different picture. I'm a king's kid. You're really something. You're a child of God. You're a king's kid. You were born into royalty. You were born into royalty. You think different. You act different. Everything responds differently to you than to anybody else because you were born into it. It's just the law. It's unbreakable. To practice sin means to make ready, to prepare, to be the author of it, to acquire and provide a thing for oneself, to make a thing out of something. Man, to practice sin, what he's talking about, it's talking about the devil who is consumed with, I am going to be evil. You know, here's one thing I want to just throw out here because I forgot to mention this. But these laws of God that work, the devil mimics the laws with a twist. Remember that. Everything he does is really close to the truth, just with a little bit of twist on it. So some people pick up on his laws, and it's so close to God's laws that they don't want to believe in God's laws because it sounds too close to his laws. But he only can mimic. And I won't dwell any longer on it, but practicing sin is like, man, you are just consumed with the idea, I'm going to do everything evil I can, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It is not about you stumbling and making a mistake or having a vice that you can't, haven't got victory over for a while. And by the way, if you say, how come I haven't got victory over this? Most of the time is because you're still looking at the condemnation and still not seeing who you really are. And when you find out who you really are and the seed that's inside you, and all of a sudden you start seeing yourself not as a screw-up, I can't tell you how many people I've worked with, including me, that just saw themselves as a screw-up and are trying to get better. I'm just trying to get better. I'm really working on it. Those are bad words to be saying. I'm really working on it. I'm trying to be better. Man, those ought to kind of be eliminated out of your vocabulary. Well, if I don't say that to my wife, she's going to think I'm not even trying, and then I'm really going to get hurt. Well, I know, but she's not your God. You're not trying to get better. You were born into royalty. You were born into righteousness. You were born a new creation without any evil in you. That's who you really are. That's who you're going. That's his plan from the beginning, and that's his plan for all eternity. And however this pans out down here, there's going to be good and bad mixtures depending on how you choose and what you do, because here's the deal. You got this evil inside you that wants to do wrong, and you got God, and you got the seed in here, and now who's going to win? The one you set your mind on. Romans 8, for the mind set on the spirit is life and peace, the mind set on the flesh is death. Death is going to manifest in everything you do if you got your mindset on your failures, got your mindset on all the kind of your insecurities, your fears and all that. But when you got your mindset on the Spirit, and the law of the Spirit of life is this, that he has placed his seed inside you and you are perfect. Head on out there and get out there. And you get to be like those two boys, and man, they are just good at everything they did. And they practiced hard and they worked hard, but they had fun and had joy, and they knew they were representing their nation to the other nations, and they did the best, and they are awesome. Why? Because they're royalty. And you were born into royalty. That's who you are. And even if you're not walking in very good, it doesn't change the law. It's who you are. But when you start acknowledging that and you get your mindset, we shared this on Wednesday night a little bit, and it stirred me up. Paul Harvey, back in 1970s or so, he had the rest of the story deal. And anyway, he was just telling this story. And there's a small little town, and a nice Mayberry-type town. And anyway, this is a bad news thing, sorry. But this little girl they found her. She had been abused, sexually abused, and abused physically in many ways, and they found her dead in the small little town. And it shook the town to the core. Stuff like that just didn't happen there. And so they start investigating, and they start investigating, and they're looking, and everything started pointing in one direction. They couldn't believe it. Because in this town, there was a pharmacist, had his own little drugstore there, was the nicest guy. Da-da-da-da-da, good man, good in the community, never did anything wrong. And it all kept pointing to him, and nobody could believe it. And finally it came to the point where the evidence was all there, it was him. And he finally confessed, yes, it was me. And they said, how in the world did this happen? You're a good man. You've never done anything wrong. Well, he said, it happened about 20 years ago. I was just looking out my window. I was a young man. I looked out, and I saw this little girl walk by, and I had this horrible thought fly into my head. What would it be like to do her harm? And he said, man, that just rattled me, and I just said, man, be gone. I'm not going to think about that. That's horrible. But he said, I spent a lot of time in front of that window looking outside when I wasn't busy. And he said, as years went by, these girls would walk by, and I start entertaining that thought. And I start letting it stay. And then I start thinking about it more and more. And then I got to a point as years went by that I was actually visualizing the whole process. And I started seeing it like a video. I could just see myself doing it. I could see her, forgive me, but it got real vivid. And he said, and then one day, I did it. The devil mimics the laws of righteousness with a twist. You know what that man was doing? Psalms 1. Blessed is the man. You know it. Who meditates in the word day and night, day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the streams of living water, bears his fruits in all seasons, and its leaf will never wither. What he did was meditate on the law of sin, of darkness. And he played it over and over and over in his mind. The rest of his life stayed good until one day, it manifest. That's a mimic of the law of the Spirit of life. How we meditate in the Word day and night. We think about it. We visualize it. We see ourselves as royalty. We see ourselves as powerful. We see ourselves as free. We see ourselves as not getting somewhere. We see ourselves arrived. We're already winners. We see ourselves strong. We see ourselves free. We see ourselves. And so somebody says, well, I'm going to kill you if you don't deny Jesus. We say, well, kill me because I'm already good. I'm already there. This whole flesh is not me. I know him. I walk with him in the cool of the day. It's my whole life. It's who I am. And when you do that, guess what? It just grows and manifests. And you get stronger and wiser. And no longer do you say, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? You say, I was a wretched man and I got delivered. Hallelujah. Thanks be to Jesus. That's no longer not me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live by that faith in him. And it doesn't matter what you're going to go into. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. It doesn't matter what you want to get done. If you'll meditate on just who that you're born of royalty, it will start manifesting. And the beautiful thing, it'll manifest in every area of your life. It's so simple, we have to have help to screw it up. And there's a lot of people out there to help you screw it up. Well, Lisa was sharing. There's a lot of people come alongside you, help you mess it up. Well, man, a Christian wouldn't act like that. Well, where'd that come from? We are now the children of God, not going to be. We are now royalty, not going to be. We are now King's kids. Mindset on that? Life. The other? Death. Father, we thank you. Thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ, your plan from the garden, your thoughts towards me, your thoughts towards all these people right here, they really are something. They really are something. They're royalty for eternity. You'll never forsake them. They're not missing the mark. They're joint heirs with Jesus. They're the owners of all things. All things are legal to them. All things are righteous to them. And nothing can stop the law of the Spirit from manifesting your goodness in our everyday life forever. And so we just say, amen, we thank you. Man, we blessed. We honor you. We praise you because that's a good deal for us. Amen? Amen, good deal. You're born into reality, royalty. Have a great week.